Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 316, episode 4 of Der Nightly Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Thursday, December 7th, 2023, 12-7-2-3. Mm-hmm. Good
what
buddy.
Could that be? Oh, that's right. It's Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, a day that will live in infamil. Also, International Civil Aviation Day, National Cotton Candy Day, National Slime Day, National Illinois Day. Shout out Justin and my family, the Graves in Illinois, and also...
And our guest today?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, from the Illinois and our native. Guest. Woo! Yeah. Making that man. Illinois, getting an Illinoisy in here. And I think, is today the first night of Hanukkah, too? Let me just check, because you know everybody is on their own calendar. Where the fuck is it? See, this is how... Hold on. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it.
Calendar's anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
The Google search is anti-Semitic.
No,
It's taken this long?
Come on, it was taking this long. Anyway, no. And also the first night of Hanukkah. So we got all that happening one day.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Fantastic.
Amazing. What was the other thing?
Pearl Harbor, Illinois.
Oh,
Illinois.
Yeah. Illinois. That's the one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my name
wait,
is.
Wait, did you have something to say? Or just kind of like, wait, what was the other one?
I didn't. For some reason, I was searching what day Easter is this year because.
Wait, what?
Don't even ask. Man, this is just like dad shit. The like, I was taught. My kids were asking what day Easter was this year, and it seemed especially early. It's like March 31st this year, which seems too early to me. Anyways,
I was hoping he could do his Hanukkah party and then just knock out Easter with the same party.
Knock out Easter,
like put up both decorations. You know,
yeah. Well, because like that, those roaming holidays where like the date is not the same every year can really throw you for a loop sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, my name's Jack O'Brien, aka Jojo found a bone and thought it was a femur. Doctor said it's much too tall. Pointed out the little round bits at the bottom. Said it must be giant's balls. Giant sack. Giant sack. Giant sack. That ain't no dino bone. That is courtesy of Blinky Heck. Get back, the Beatles.
Mm. Mm.
Get back to where we were in archaeology when we thought dinosaur bones were testicles. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, aka I remember when the broth was mine. and how the moist pheasant was that day. Ooh. Even your little can't let go, full of meaty paste. And when you're out there, no Tupperware, I was out of sauce. But it wasn't because I didn't know the cause. I just knew the loss. I completely fucked the fucking melody, but don't worry. Does Miles eat gravy? Does Miles love gravy? Does Miles need gravy? Definitely. Okay, shout out to Angris Turamarth on the Discord for that Gnarls Barkley edit of crazy.
Angris Turamarth is a mouthful, is a just a delicious word, or two words to say. Enjoying it. Well done, Miles. Well done, Angris. And I believe we are thrilled.
I think that's Tolkien.
Is it?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, he had a way with fake names.
I think that was. I feel anyway. Correct me if I'm wrong, Zeit Gang. That
Tolkien.
That hit my Tolkien brain real quick.
It's Tolkien adjacent.
Yeah, you're Tolkien.
If it's not, we are thrilled to be joined by one of the best podcast hosts doing it anywhere. My old friend from the crack days, a Jeopardy champion, the host of the wonderful podcast, Secretly Incredibly Fascinating. It's Alex Schmidt.
Thanks so much for having me and revealing. There's an Illinois Day. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We had several weird holidays in Illinois, but I didn't know there was one for the state. So that's
Wait, what other weird holidays are there? Y'all have weird holidays?
Maybe I shouldn't call it weird, but there's one called Kazimierz Pulaski Day that is a sort of Polish-American holiday specific to the Chicago area because there was huge immigration from Poland. But it's a Revolutionary War hero. And that would just be a day off from school sometimes. Sometimes you would get a day and march off, and it's Kazimierz Pulaski Day.
Oh, great. Shoot. Okay.
I love state-specific day off. In Massachusetts, they have Patriots Day, I believe.
It's like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the day of the marathon. So that's like a little local holiday.
I don't think we have one in California.
California?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No.
You just get to live in California.
Exactly. California is confidently really cool all the time. And then other states are like, have you heard of Kazimierz Pulaski? That's pretty neat.
And then here I am as a Californian. I'm like, go on about Kazimierz Pulaski.
Yeah.
I know not of his exploits.
We were talking about days off, like unofficial days off before we started recording. But like when our parents would like approve, let us take a day off school. There's truly nothing better.
Oh, yeah. Because it feels like you're like a hostage negotiator and you've like pulled off the greatest deal. Like, especially like in my house, I tried to fake illness. My mom was onto my shit. I only did it like twice successfully my whole life. It's when I put hot water from the kettle in my mouth and then put the fucking thermometer in. So it looked like I had a fever, even though my head didn't have a fever. Yeah.
That sounds so painful.
Well, I let it cool down. Like I was just putting boiling water. Although the first time I put it in, I fucked up and didn't let it cool. So my mom checked the first time I tried it. It said I had a fever of 120.
She's like, well,
so you're going to the hospital. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm joking. I just didn't want to go to school. And she's like, no, we got to cut you. You need surgery. right. And then the one time I got off was when I think I was telling you. Oh, yeah, I was telling you. When Hideo Nomo threw a no-hitter for the Dodgers against the Rockies. My mom, I was like, can I not go to school the next day? She's like, yeah, this feels right. This feels right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think that's why I have such an affinity.
So I do the NCAA tournament, the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. My dad would occasionally take me out of school if there was like a couple games nearby. We would drive and watch those, and those are some of the best.
Schmitty, what about you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I had any recurring ones, but I know that my dad would get taken out of school by his uncle for like a sick day thing, and then the little family joke was that the Cure were bratwurst at the White Sox stadium, and so they would just take him to the White Sox game.
That feels like that like almost brought a
tear
to my eye.
Dad, I love that story. He's like, yeah, it's not happening though.
Yeah, he's like, you're healthy.
Don't
you're
get
fine.
Any ideas?
Yeah, we're not going to Comiskey, fam. So why don't you sit down and study your books?
study up. Pal. It's truly Illinois Day. I love it. That's great.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. Well, you had your own statewide holiday. I think our parents were just trying to make up for the fact that we didn't have those.
Yeah. Oh, my father-in-law, he has a friend who he's been doing this for like 50 years or something, where it was called Dentist Day. And you tell all your friends who have like jobs and stuff, be like, yo, just call in if you got a dental appointment and come through to my house because I'm having a fucking party. And like, so people would come throughout the day, basically all using the same excuse of a dental appointment to go to like party at this person's house. And I was like, that's fucking smart. They're like, we all use the same bullshit excuse at the same damn time.
Wow.
So yeah. Yeah. Traditional.
I hope you're not like blowing up anyone's spot right now.
No,
like,
no. They're all fucking, these people are all retired. They're not. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Guy who always goes to the dentist the same day every year and then comes in hungover the next day. Maybe sometimes there's something weird going ripped. On.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wearing the same thing from 2 days prior. All right, Alex, we're thrilled to have you here. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. There's a new kind of run of articles about like just kind of imagining in the very realistic scenario where Trump wins a second term, what that second term would look like. And like there's one Washington Post article that was just like, yeah, like nobody'd be able to stop him. He'd just be president for life. I'm like, that's not the rules, right? Like that can't be. But it was this conservative commentator who was writing the Washington Post and was just like, yeah, we should stop pretending like this isn't happening. He's going to be the president for the rest of your natural life until he's dead. So we'll talk about that and what Trump is saying about it, because he seems like he's on board.
Giddy.
Surprisingly. And we have our Time Magazine Person of the Year.
Yes.
Woo.
The Labor, best. Right?
Yeah.
No, organized no. Labor.
No.
Oh,
oh my.
No? It's my. No?
Maybe disorganized labor?
Yeah. How many papers is that going to sell, huh, pal?
Yeah.
Nah, they went Taylor. So we're going to talk about that. This is like the first entertainer I think they've ever given it to. Other like Lindbergh was the first one. And I think in retrospect, that was probably like more of a pop culture phenomenon than anything. Like he was just like a hot guy who flew a plane. But people were obsessed with planes and they were like, wave of the future, pal. This guy's the man. But yeah, like there's no singers who have won this before. It's pretty wild. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. Before we get to any of it, Alex, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
The actual most recent thing, which was surprising because I'm always Googling stuff and researching for my podcast, but the actual most recent thing was just red pandas because we went to the zoo recently. Saw them again. They're fantastic. They're just really good. Brighten your day. Go see a red panda online and in person if you can. It's great.
Are they big? They're smaller, right? Red pandas are like way smaller than like normal panda bears or traditional bears, I guess the term.
Yeah. Yeah. They're basically called pandas because they eat bamboo and part of their habitat is modern China. And otherwise, they're more related to raccoons and weasels and stuff. So they're a smaller size and they're absolutely adorable. It's very fun to watch them move and climb. And somehow their fur stays perfect all of the time. It's a great animal. Really into it.
I always just feel like I see that there's that one video of the red pandas like going like this to each other. Like, have you seen that?
Wait, it is up. An audio medium, Miles.
Oh, sorry. They greet each other like by raising, like getting on their hind legs and then raising their front.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at it right now.
Like, hey, and I'm like, this little. Are they dangerous? Because like every time I see them, I'm like, yo, that's a pet right there. I mean, obviously, morality aside, I'm like, that would be a fucking dope fucking pet to create.
Hey, I'm gonna wife that animal.
That's wife material right there. Wait, what are you saying? I mean, just in a friendship way.
The greeting looks like they've heard the thing that you're like supposed to, when you see a bear, you're supposed to like make yourself big.
Right.
Like they heard that, and when they see each other, they're like, as big as possible. Oh man.
Yeah. I don't know if that's too simple of a thing. It's just awesome. And then I also heard that giant pandas are getting taken out of U.S. zoos or have been taken out because of relations with the country of China. So red pandas are the most exciting zoo panda right now in our country.
Are the great pandas, are those like on lease?
Yeah, technically right? Still either Chinese property or citizens, or I don't know how the laws work exactly, but they're always being borrowed when they're in the U.S.
Yeah, right.
China can just take them back. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Yeah. See, that's called leverage right there. They're like, oh, you want to fuck around with semiconductors, bro? We taking our pandas.
Yes.
Now what?
We possess the coolest animals.
Oh, yeah. But this red panda. Somebody let me know, can you kick it with a red panda and not be worried about like it ripping your face off and shit?
Yeah.
The movie Turning Red was somewhat misleading, I will say, because...
Oh.
It's a good movie. That, in what did you take from it exactly that you're going to apply to the real world?
That I could turn into one?
Puberty isn't real, folks. Doesn't exist.
Oh.
No, it doesn't. It's giant, though. The red panda is in that. She turns into a red panda that is the size of a giant panda.
Right.
And yeah. Red panda's like a fox or a medium-sized dog size. Yeah. It's pretty chill.
I saw these at a zoo in West Virginia, and they are absolutely adorable. Alex, your background, you have a zoo background, right? You've worked at zoos.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a Zoom call. I was like, that looks like a normal bedroom. You have a zoo background.
What do I do with these animals? No. Yeah, I was a zoo tour guide at Brookfield Zoo outside of Chicago, Illinois Day. We're keeping it going. And I loved that. When I was 4, I wanted to do it. And then when I was 18, I got to. And I love going to zoos, especially around Thanksgiving, because they're open every day usually. Because zoos know they have to feed the animals and care for the animals anyway. So they're often open almost all the days of the year. Because like, why not sell tickets?
Yeah.
So great holiday thing.
Well, and now I feel like I know a lot of like parents with younger kids in L.A. They're all like, oh, you got the zoo pass? Like we got the annual, like we go in, we just pull up whenever to the L.A. Zoo. And for my recollection, I've been to the L.A. Zoo in like 15 years. I'm like, yo, you've been the fuck the L.A. Zoo, that fucking place? I'm like, no, it's cool. It's cool now. So LA it seems zoo.
I'm with them. It's good. And I was just brought to the Brookfield Zoo as a kid to make myself run. Yeah. Go run around with your brother, get tired. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they turn around and you're like in the enclosure, like,
hey, mom and dad.
Yeah. Zoos. I've been told like that there are some unexpectedly good zoos, like that the Fresno Zoo is really good in the Southern California area. Like the LA Zoo doesn't have a great reputation in LA. Like you don't hear a lot of people talk about it outside of LA, but it's a lot of fun. It is in a little bit of disrepair. Like you can tell that a lot of the like buildings for the humans were built in like the 80s and 90s. You know, like the stores, the motifs that they've selected are kind of 80s and 90s era. But yeah, just go check out your local zoo.
I mean, also, I don't know, Fresno, calling Fresno SoCal is a bit of a stretch.
Is it?
Like that drive.
Okay.
I mean, maybe like in the big, maybe in the larger scheme of things, but when I think of Fresno, I'm like, oh, that's, we're about to be in the Bay Area.
Hmm. What, Alex, what's something you think is overrated?
The guy Napoleon. Way overrated.
The guy?
Awful guy.
That guy.
And I saw the movie yesterday. The movie, I think, really doesn't like him. And I really appreciate that about the movie. They make him look like a weird jerk who no one should like all of the time. It's great.
Wait, so what is your beef with Napoleon? Because I'm good friends with him.
Oh,
what's your damage, bro?
Yeah, like what's your fucking problem? No, yeah. They,
right, like so he's like moderating the Discord and everyone's very mad at me typing right now. He is famous, but mainly for being a general. And he basically just got like everyone in Europe killed for about 15 years for his own personal gain. Like he didn't really have goals beyond being an emperor. And he kind of ruined the best parts of the French Revolution. He was a horrible guy personally. He reinstituted slavery in France after the revolution abolished it. Like he should not have any good reputation at all. And the movie just treats him like he's a weird guy who's bad. So that's very good.
Yeah.
The Joaquin special.
Yeah. I weird recommend seeing it just to see how weird it is. It's not a good movie, but it's a lot of just him shuffling around, being unpleasant, and also having a fully American accent. I assume French people are really upset about this movie. It's not a good Napoleon depiction.
Mm.
Like, does he, like, fully American, like, does he have a regional accent? Do they go, like, Bronx with it? Or is it just, is it just speaking TV English?
Hey, I'm invading here and stuff. Yeah, that's, yeah, sure.
You're fucking talking to Napoleon right now, dog.
Yo, you know who you're speaking to, bro? Cause I'll go get him. He's about to head over to Corsica, bro, for his exile. I'll do that shit right now. Did he have syphilis though?
He had, I think, more than 20 mistresses is the estimation, and probably picked it up.
I just always thought that was like a weird like historical myth or. I didn't know if it was true, but I always, for some reason, people were like, yo, he had syphilis was the thing I always heard about Napoleon. But yeah, that could just be based on bad rumors that have lasted for centuries now.
Yeah, we just turned him into like an angry short cartoon character. Like, that's just how history worked there. Like, yeah, he's like, picture Danny DeVito, shout out Get Shorty, but like more angry, and that's who he is. But it feels like he's the first leader that is like similar to the leaders we have, like just a narcissist, like that is what was driving the whole thing. He's like, have you guys heard about this narcissism shit? Like, this shit goes hard. This is a great way to go through life. And everyone just was unprepared for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I read a long biography of him last year, and even people in France were kind of unprepared for him because he was very from Corsica, which a lot of French people thought was like separate and different. And they even thought he had a weird regional accent from Corsica. Like, people would talk about how he spoke funny from a French perspective. Yeah. And yeah, I think he just decided he was going to be the military dictator of the earth. And that's not like a great goal. I think heroes should have better goals.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
One of those bad ideas to have like inceptioned in your brain that you can't shake.
Yeah.
It's like, I just can't get rid of this notion that everybody should be bowing to me in the whole world.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's not good for anybody, man.
Well, let me finish. Under the threat of death.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool, that's what I've been saying.
That's what I've been saying, man. Shit works.
Man, shout out to Ridley Scott, though. He's just on a heater of like making highly watchable, not good movies. That seems to be like where he's at. That House of Gucci thing was like, what a great time at the movies, and you just like walk away and you're like, man, that wasn't good.
Dude, what the fuck was that?
What the fuck? But like, what a blast. Yeah. I'm very intrigued. I always come away, people are like, it's not good, but like you should definitely go see it. And that was like definitely my review of House of Gucci too. It's like not a good movie.
No, but check it out. But check
you better,
it out.
You better go. It's going to make time disappear and stick with you in weird ways.
Didn't he also do a Columbus movie with Gerard Depardieu? That 1492 film? Was that him? Or did he write?
Is that Ridley?
He directed it. Yeah, dude. Yeah. So he's on a fucking tear of being like, yo, and this guy fucking, he was just trying to figure out the new world for everybody, man. Complicated dude. Really weird guy. Had some
Yeah, this movie made me reappreciate Gladiator, where he could just make up an exciting guy.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Have to depict a guy who's horrible. You know,
right?
It's great.
Right.
Yeah.
Did Gladiator have syphilis though? You asked that like a gotcha question when you asked.
I know. I did it as if everything I said that was preceding it was meaningless, because it was mainly just to get to the point. Yeah, but it's syphilis, right? Because that's what, now that I read it, they were suspecting that's what led to his death potentially. Like the symptoms that he was displaying there, like plus his, you know, his habits of having many partners. Like it may have been syphilis that took him down.
Yeah. And he was like devolving towards the end, supposedly, like making bad military decisions.
Right.
But that could also just be power and being fame. Mm-hmm. Famous. Being fame. What, Alex, is something you think is underrated?
Yeah, this is a candy tip. There is an amazing candy in Canada called Coffee Crisp. And it's very good. And I would really like to order some. I will probably get some later. It's apparently hard to get in the U.S. Wikipedia wrongly told me it's at Wegmans. It's not at Wegmans. But anyway, Coffee Crisp, it's a candy bar. It's really good.
And I'm guessing it tastes like peanuts?
It is. We have a friend in Canada. They drove down a while ago and like brought us some just basically gas station candy.
Yeah.
And this thing blew my mind. It's a vanilla wafer like cookie, and then soft coffee flavored candy filling in the wafer, and then coated in chocolate. So vanilla, wow, chocolate coffee all together. It's just amazing. And you can get it for like a nickel in Canada. Yeah.
Oh, you can get a 30 pack on Amazon, but the page is titled Nestle Coffin Crisp Coffee.
Yeah, don't
crisp.
Buy that. Don't buy that.
I would stick with steer clear of that.
I would probably just, yeah, hopefully one of your listeners or our listeners can, you know, just can traffic some down for you. Yeah.
I would love some. It's great. It's like, it's fantastic. There's not enough coffee flavored candy that's like normally available. There's fancy kinds, but you can't just like get that.
I just, yeah, I love the slogan on this box of like the 24 pack of coffee crisp. It just says coffee crisp makes a nice light snack. Like, I think so used to like American marketing that's like, you'll fucking die if you don't eat seven of these, asshole. Yeah. Like, where it's like, dude, this makes a nice light snack. Coffee crisp. All right.
There you go. Or like a paragraph about like our corporate philosophy.
Yeah.
This one's just like from the 1970s.
Yeah. A crisp light snack for you. Oh.
So you're are you a coffee ice cream fan, Alex?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you like and are you a regular coffee drinker?
Yeah. Yeah. We
enjoy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Take it.
And really all like bitter flavors of stuff I'm pretty into too, especially as I've aged a little bit. Like when you're a little kid, you just want ketchup on everything. But now I like bitter, weird, dark flavors. Yeah. Mm.
So all our tastes are childish compared to yours, is what you're saying.
What's wrong with ketchup?
Because you like when to I talk just, about food.
Because you just like to chew some aspirin tablets. You're more grown up than us.
Yeah. I get star anise, just the actual plant, and I just chew on that all day. It's actually very, very delicious.
Awesome. Yeah, I was just reading a review of Barbara Streisand's 1,000-page biography or memoir. And they were talking about her being like this huge coffee ice cream fan. And that's just, it's like one of those things that there are just people who are like, why would you ever have anything else besides coffee flavored stuff? Like, that's how my mom is too. Like, it's just like, loves coffee ice cream. And I just don't see it. It's like such a specific thing that I just
it
like
finishes
have never.
Different.
Yeah, it's just, it's not like, it's not for me, I guess. But yeah, Barbara Streisand is like, I'm just happy to eat coffee ice cream until I die after I finish this memoir.
Wow.
Just like, I'm out, baby.
I'm out. And then after that, going to my McDonald's downstairs. Fuck with me.
Exactly. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Donald Trump. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And yeah, it seems like people are starting to come to terms with the possibility of a second Trump term in their own ways. There's been a number of articles about the possibility of Trump becoming president again and becoming a dictator.
Yeah.
Napoleon style, baby.
With syphilis, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like, yeah, I feel like since he left office, people were like, wait till this guy comes back. Like he's a raptor testing the fences, and he's the next time he goes for it, he's probably going to do it better than the last time. And we've seen a lot of these quotes and like headlines, which I think half are intended for like to help people understand like what's at stake if you don't support Joe Biden. But then the other half is also too, it's like, this is actually kind of serious, and like, what does anyone care maybe that this is happening, or the way we report on presidential races have been like, who's gonna win, rather than like, what's this guy saying? So right. There have been quotes from his allies that suggest they're like, yo, he ain't leaving. Like if he gets in, he ain't leaving. I mean, he might, if something might happen that would eventually oust him, but in his mind, if he's there, he's holding on to that thing for dear life. He also has a website that's like literally, we've talked about this, Project 2025. It's like literally outlining his plan to destroy the federal government. And it's put together by like very smart lawyers and like people who understand like how to potentially dismantle like the bureaucracies in a way that benefit Trump and installing MAGA flunkies, et cetera. But yeah,
He's not going, if he wins this time, he's not going to the White House like with a look like he just saw a ghost on his face like the first time. Remember that like first trip to the White House where he's like, oh, what have I done? Like now he's going with like fucking armed guards ready to just like take Biden to The Hague or whatever.
But then they're like, actually, Donald, while you're here, why don't you have a seat too?
Yeah,
we got you here at The Hague. Yeah. You got any other former presidents with you? Oh, you guys, all right, that'll do. But yeah, it's clear that like all the warning sirens coming out of the media has, from the perspective of the right, created like a narrative for them to push back on, to be like, oh shit, they're doing the thing where they're gonna alert the voting populace about how dangerous Donald Trump is, and we need to kind of like maybe push back on that. J.D. Vance was saying, you know, people need to take a chill pill. Because like all this stuff is just worrying just for no reason. That's not what's going on. Others are just very dismissive and laughing off the idea that Trump wants to become some kind of dictator. And that seems to be the tactic like with this second campaign as it relates to like these very autocratic goals of his, is to treat the media's, you know, reaction to his plans as these like lib freakouts. So his supporters and others that aren't that engaged can just mark it as like, oh, it's like the media overreacting again. I mean, look, was he that bad? I don't know. But meanwhile, there are many people who are completely unaware, you know, too. There's a huge part of the like voters who, like when it comes to November of 2024, they'll do what they do. Others might not even be motivated to vote. But that's where like we're seeing him or the party sort of play into the thing of like out loud saying these dark things and like allowing it to be in the Washington Post or New York Times. But those people ain't reading that shit. So they're just like, we're all good. But meanwhile, his like public statements make it very clear what his plans are, which is like revenge by any means. When he said like the vermin that he's going to fucking seek out and, you know, finally get revenge on. And this doesn't affect the support at all with his supporters. They all want in on the revenge tour.
Yeah.
But yeah, like so. The reason like I'm bringing this up, though, is because like there was a Hannity town hall that happened recently. And clearly Hannity knew that, like, all this talk about how Trump's going to be a dictator is like, don't scare the fucking voters. Like, let's maybe like back off that a little bit. He tried to change the optics by giving him some softball questions. And this was Trump, like, just so you know, this is Hannity. He's like, earlier in this event, he was like, and you're not going to like abuse your power, right? Like, just saying very unequivocally. And then Trump would be like, what, like they're doing now? And right. That's what, like, and then Hannity let go. He's like, oh, fuck, that's not the answer we need. So here is his second go around of trying to get Trump to say, yeah, like, you're not like going to like fucking be a dictator or anything, right?
We almost have to go to a break. I want to go back to this one issue, though, because the media has been focused on this and attacking you.
Yeah.
Under no circumstances, you are promising America tonight, you would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
Except for
he's going crazy. Except for day one.
Meaning?
He's going crazy.
I want to close the border and I want to drill.
That's
drill,
not
a,
that's
drill.
That's not. Oh, no. That's not retribution. I got.
I'm going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to be. You know, he keeps. We love this guy. He says, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no, no, no. Other than day one.
Wow.
But he's trying to be. It's like part of him wants to be like to wink at the thing. He's like, you know what's coming? Mushroom Mussolini, baby, load up. Or he's also kind of like in this thing is like, yeah, by closing the border and drilling and right. maybe throwing my enemies in prison. Maybe that's the part he's not saying out loud. But yeah, it's very interesting.
Put my enemies under those drills. Yeah.
I have not heard a lot of clips of like Sean Hannity doing stuff. And when it is, it's usually him like fighting with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
really sweet to hear Sean Hannity trying to help a guy. Yeah. Be like, right. So when you say day one, you mean just your policies, right? You mean just your
right,
policies.
Right.
Like
no, that's
like
not a dictator.
Day one is very cute and sweet and adorable of him. That's great.
Look at this guy. What a dipshit. Look at him trying to help me.
Oh,
fuck
he hates
you.
This. He hates this. Watch this. Day one. Okay.
Day one, I'm gonna be a dictator, yeah. baby.
They're gonna call me Robespierre, bro. Just wait. Just you fucking wait.
So, yeah, like beta Sean Hannity. Very exciting. I'm yes. very on board.
Well, you're not, like, but you don't mean it, do you? Do you, Don? Ah, come on. And, you know, this is the part of each act break where I start getting a little antsy because I haven't taken a hit off my vape for 5 minutes. So, yeah, I don't know. They, like, one of the Washington yeah. Post had this opinion piece by a conservative commentator, but I think it's like a never Trumper conservative commentator. And they're basically like, yeah, comparing him to the power grabbing Roman Emperor Julius Caesar. The lengthy article says neither the U.S. Constitution nor the Supreme Court could prevent Trump being president for life if he wanted. Which is like,
all right, Joe, you got to do it now then, bro. You got to do it now. Be. If the laws are that flimsy, then what the fuck would be like? The body should be like, actually, I'm Godhead for life.
Right. Like, why? Wait, why is this? We're just agreeing with that. We're just like, yeah, it turns out like he can kind of do whatever he wants. So
that's how serious this country is. I mean, yeah. like, remember we talked about this in the, after January 6th. There was like this whole thing.
Yeah.
We got to codify these rules because clearly people don't like if it's not written down into law, they're gonna be like, well, that ain't no law. I can just fucking steal this. I'll just fucking say I don't agree with the outcome and I'm the president still.
Yeah, what happened to all the codification? I mean, that was coming.
This is where, you know, you get really great allies of the right-wing takeover and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, as well as many others that are just, I mean, I just don't, it's weird. I think there's just this also, the energy we get from politicians is sort of like, yeah, dude, it's fine. This dude's fucking, like, I don't know what the fuck he's saying. Don't worry about it. And then on the other hand, they're like, no, this fucking guy is going to fucking do something. And you're like, well, then how do you factor into all of this?
Right.
If it really yeah. is like, can you show like because the will to sort of protect the, you know, the American democracy, like that dissipated so quickly in Biden's first year that now like we're I don't know, like what the answer is. And if the only answer is just to be like, well, then just breathlessly vote for like Joe Biden. That's also a little problematic for me because I'm like, we have to look at these presidencies as a way to keep building on something and have progress. Granted, I don't know how realistic that is at this point, but it's just like all of it is just very disorienting where it's like, Is it an existential threat or is it not? And if it is, what are you doing at this in with all these seats of power to try and do something about it? Because otherwise, it just seems like y'all don't care either way what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am so happy that people are making big predictions of how bad Donald Trump could be, because he like did a January 6th. He's that dangerous already in real life.
Right.
It's ridiculous that anybody is trying to tell people to take a chill pill about him. He fomented an assault on the United States Capitol. And if he were anybody else, we would have like rounded him up with our military. But, you know.
Yeah. But he's very popular with a lot of certain type of people.
I mean, I think that's why, like, with all the support for Biden going up and down, I mean, like, a year is truly like an eternity in politics. I mean, like, when we were, I remember, like, 2019 going into 2020, we're like, I don't know, man, he might get a second term. And then COVID fucking hit and completely upended everything. I'm not saying there's going to be some other pandemic, but, like, things happen and people's calculus changes. But, like, right now, it's not a lot of the stories I'm seeing from Democrats sort of like, oh, they're going to stop using Bidenomics because it's just not like resonating with people. And I'm like, there's a lot more to be talking about than just like whether how good of a catchphrase Bidenomics is.
Right.
But yeah,
seems like kind of a mess. Yeah,
we should be saying Econa Biden. Right. That'll fix it.
Econa Bidenomics.
Now we're winning.
There we go.
Oh, shit.
Don't worry, guys. We've got a group of the highest paid political operatives in Washington just focus testing various phrases around the clock. This one's in the bag. I do feel like I just have this sense that Democratic strategists and like people in Congress are like behind the scenes being like, guys, it's in the bag for Biden. Like, yeah, people, the polling's bad right now, but like nobody's going to actually vote Trump into office. Like they've seen how crazy it is and you've seen like how they actually have voted in the past few elections. And it feels like there's like something that they think they know that the rest of us don't know about this election, or else they would have their hair on fire. Like it feels like everybody should with staring down the barrel of this shit, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also knowing like when to shoot the shot in a campaign. It's like they can't turn on the fire alarm till we're a little bit closer to election day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because like you start doing that now, it'll last for a couple months. But like you need it to be like you need to hit fever pitch in like the week before election day to get that turnout or whatever your voter registration drives are. And that's what I think makes it just also so cynical, too, where they're like, dude, don't warn them about the collapse of American democracy. Like, we're not going to really take it seriously until, like, maybe, like, 3 weeks out from the election.
Yeah, yeah. Then, it's got to be a concentrated rollout, okay?
Yeah.
If we learned anything.
It won't scale. Guys, it won't scale otherwise.
We have the PR team from Barbie, okay? This is going to be fine. We have the PR team from Barbie. They're telling us to just keep our powder dry, sit back, wait.
Right. Also, Barbie-nomics. Slam.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, we're good here. Justin, please cut that out. We have to get this, clip it out, and send it right to the Biden team. And maybe a vice presidential run from Miss Barbie? Throwing it out there.
Could you imagine that kind of level of panic like from the DNC where they're like, fuck, dude, I think Taylor Swift might have to be his running mate. Like, I think we're going to have to do that. I honestly, like, I don't know what else. I don't know what else is going to move the fucking needle in some of these swing states. Like, maybe, we did the polling. People like her.
No, I'm almost positive that conversation has happened. Like, in higher halls of power than I want to believe. Yes, I think. Look what it did for fucking Travis Kelce in the NFL. People were out on the NFL.
People used to say that was like modern day, like barbaric slavery, like just like, you know, like just all these black players and like a white quarterback and all these head injuries and their disposable bodies. And now people, fucking everyone loves it again because of Taylor.
That's a life I've never thought about, of being one of the people running either of the major political parties. And just as you go through life, whenever a celebrity crosses your mind or radar, you just have the thought, like, should I make them the president? Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Would that work for me? Like, what a weird way to live life.
That was weird. Right. Like, in the post, like, Clinton, I remember a lot in, like, the George W. Bush era, Michael Moore would talk a lot about Oprah being the president, like how we got to get Oprah to run. And I think that was like a popular idea. It's like, we just need, I mean, you see the way she can move books, you guys. Like,
yeah. Yeah. The way she can sell Slankets. I mean, right. She's got something.
And that's like, it's different, but like, that's almost happened mainly with generals. I read a biography of Truman, and they talked about how Eisenhower got talked to by both parties before he took a look at politics, because they were just like, you'll definitely get elected and you're awesome. Like, can we? He's much more impressive than a celebrity, but it was an option before, because he was not in politics yet. And they were like, this is a free agent. Can I add him to my fantasy team, I guess?
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, this guy's on waivers, you guys. This is a season winner just sitting out there on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Is he more impressive than all celebrities? We're about to find out, because he is now in the same category as Taylor Swift, this year's Person of the Year. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And
yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Anyway, go
Vice,
on.
Vice President Taylor.
Have you read Taylor's autobiography yet, or Taylor's biography?
No, I'm getting to it. I know Harry Truman was a huge fan, but that's all I know. Yeah.
Walter Isaacson is working on it. The guy, it's going to be added to his genius trilogy.
Yeah. Taylor puts out a book. It's like the U.S. Constitution, Taylor's version.
Yeah.
And you're like, shit.
Taylor Swift has joined the likes of Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin on, and, you know, Truman,
many others,
I'm sure. Yeah. FDR as one of the most influential people in modern history. Yeah. It is
Like, so first of all, we talked about how like the nominees included labor, which felt like, oh, that's definitely the pick, right? Like that labor has had a huge year this year. They fucking stopped the entertainment industry. They stopped the and like bent the auto industry to their will. Like there's growing approval for the labor industry or for labor, which is unprecedented in modern America. Like that, the idea of labor having a high approval rating in the United States, like very recently, was like, what? No, that's fucking socialist. Fuck that, man. So like there's this huge movement, and that huge movement does not move papes if you put it on the cover. So they were like, fuck that. And also it's kind of a socialist choice for, they're like, yeah, let Jacobin make that their person of the year. We're going to go with Taylor Swift. But this is the first time, like I was going back through the list of people who have won, who like the people of the year, they've never had anybody this just like entertainment.
Basically. They have.
They have?
It was Bono and Bill Gates and Melinda Gates were on the cover one year.
But that was for their humanitarian work.
Yeah, sure. But I'm just saying Bono did make it.
Bono, okay. Bono was like in the background. Yeah,
he's technically part of the group that was celebrated as the people of the year. So, but he is, as I look at this, he's the only person, maybe Ted Turner, like is another sort of media adjacent. Mm. But
not but like it's usually like billionaire. They're like, we don't take people seriously unless they've made decisions that led to the deaths of many thousands of people. That's our kind of our sweet spot.
Here's looking at you, Kissinger 72.
Yeah.
Right.
Kissinger. So I don't know. It feels like kind of a safe pick, a greedy pick, and that you want to like if you want that NFL halo, that Taylor Swift halo that even improved the NFL's approval ranking, then like this is probably the smart move from a business perspective. It does re-raise the question of like, is this accurate? Like, we've talked about how religion has gone away or gone, like the number of people who identify with religion has gone down significantly in the past few decades. And suddenly we now have these global pop stars who have fan bases that obsess over them and treat them like they are a sacred text, like treat their work like it's a sacred text. So like maybe she is kind of a uniquely powerful, you know, symbolic figure in the history of the world, because it does feel like a lot of different deep human needs are aligning around her and, you know, pop musicians and movies and, you know, these modern myths that we have instead of religion more and more. But yeah, I think it probably should have been labor. But
I mean, are they even looking at her in that context? Or are they just being like, yo, she was popping this year? And that's, you know what I mean? Like, you're giving a very interest, like, you're giving a charitable interpretation of them naming her person of the year, where I don't disagree. Like, she's moving money like it's fucking it's sloshing around. Okay. It's just sloshing around all this capital.
And what
around.
To do with all this money that's sloshing around? That's the question on everyone's mind.
And I get that all the fans are dedicated, but I think like if you're really talking about like impact on the earth, like 2011, it was the protesters. Like, right. Because that was the year of the Arab Spring and things like that. Time magazine made those people the people of the year. And when you look at what has been happening with labor, the amount of like of jobs, of money and things that have been affected by organized labor, I think will completely blow out anything Taylor Swift has done. If you're looking at like the raw economics of like what it means for these people to go on strike and the benefits that are going to reverberate from that. But yeah, I think to your point, like knowing that print is doing terribly in the digital era, like sometimes it's just like, you know, it's like people aren't going to really argue with that. It might not be the best choice, but that cover is going to sell like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I wish Time would provide more like practical value to the country with this. Like, I don't need help remembering Taylor Swift exists and as we've been talking about strikes, my mind is trying to remember if there was a railroad strike and like trying to remember if there was a UPS strike or if they considered it. And like an article would help me remember that and run it down, yeah, because that's somewhat difficult to keep in your head. And Taylor Swift is probably most of the screens in every building in the country right now. So I don't need help with that. That's okay.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of the writing, like I've read like the first third or of it, like, and a lot of it is just talking about just purely like, yo, she's so popping. Like she's perfected the art of pop music this year. She's, yeah, you know, she's omnipotent at this point. So like from that very, yeah, from that perspective, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But a lot of like, but is that contribution as significant to like the larger world? But again, that's, I don't think anyone will ever agree on who the Time Person of the Year should, yeah, be. But not, again, not that it means really anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There, I think there's an interesting point to be made about like the role of pop and pop culture, like growing and becoming more important. But I'm guessing it's not being made by Time Magazine, which is, as I've said frequently, a garbage publication.
Yeah, I was like trying to see if like even the word religion is in there, and it's only in there once to describe how people felt at her concerts.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it would be interesting to your point is to do a larger examination and be like, it's not just because like on its face, obviously she's had the, like, she's been so significant to pop culture this year. It's actually all these other things that you're not looking at. I think that would have been something interesting, but yeah. It's just like, dude, look how much money she makes, like how much revenue is generated from where she has a tour. It's like, yeah, we get that. But like, give us something else. Give us something more. Cause I'm sure there is something interesting. I mean, like we talk about her all, like we've, haven't really stopped talking about her since the Eras tour kicked off, because we're like, what the fuck is, clearly she is in the fucking hearts and minds of people.
Yeah.
But a deeper examination, I don't know, like it's not that I need a forensic analysis, but I think that there's something academic there that could be interesting.
Yeah. I want Person of the Year Taylor Swift from any better media organization. That would be great. Like like a magazine that I think does good work. That would be really exciting. Yeah.
That would be cool. All right, well, Taylor Swift in the halls of power with... Did Mussolini ever win it? I feel like he must have won it.
I think so.
That rings a bell. Yeah.
They all did.
Mussolini rings a bell. They all did. Everyone, I mean, Hitler won it twice, you know.
Nixon won it twice, you know.
Nixon won it twice in consecutive years, and then the year after, it was the judge who basically, like, ended his career. They were like, this guy Nixon's on a fucking heater, folks.
Right.
He's heating up. He's on fire.
He's on
fire. What happened? What now? What? Watergate?
Is the next Person of the Year just automatically whoever wins the next presidential election? Right?
Yeah, like, I think maybe typically
that seems like part of it too. They're sort of implying no politics happened this year, which is not true. But I feel like they're saving next year for politics. So they were like, let's have a treat in 2023, right? Yeah. Like, let's goof off a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
This is our fun, like, kind of goof off year. This was like senior spring, you know? We were just chilling.
I mean, is it going to look like one of those things where, like, and then the next one is, like, Trump's, like, fucking, you know, political enemies are? Like, that was a weird transition, huh? We went from Taylor Swift to fucking Stephen Miller. That was a dark time. That was a dark time.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where we're at this time next year. I mean, looking back, like Greta Thunberg was the Person of the Year a mere like 4 or 5 years ago. And I mean, now since then we've solved climate change. So, you know, that's what a time capsule. Sorry. No, I'm being told the Time Magazine has just moved on from that. Yeah,
because what's wild was like in 2018, it was like people like Jamal Khashoggi, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like other journalists who are like killed, like doing like work that it's like, so that's why I was like, what
tellers.
Exactly? Yeah, what's the scale? What's the measuring criteria we use for this? But
the people who sum up like that, there's somebody whose job it is to like sum up the big group ones. And they always do the worst job, like, ever. Like,
right.
For the year that it was Zelensky, they made it the spirit of Ukraine. And for, it, like, it's just...
Really?
The Guardians. The Khashoggi year was the Guardians
with you know, people writing about corruption around the world. And yeah, the silence breakers. Yeah,
I feel like they forgot. We shouldn't like focus on heroes too much, but I feel like they forgot that one person can represent a group of people. Like Zelensky to represent Ukraine is fine. That makes sense. You don't need to like invoke the spirit of Ukraine like it's a magic act or something. It's okay.
The Good Samaritans was the year that Bono and Bill Gates won. That one's so wild. Like that's such a specific. And this is when we realized that neoliberalism was going to work. Because Bono organized the Live 8 concerts and the rest of the world's problems dissolved. That's what he helped to organize the Live 8 concerts.
I wonder if that was just like, because we were just such in our peak too of like dystopian, like, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan war type stuff that it's like, it's fucking Bono and shit for the concerts. You know,
yeah.
It's like
the runner up that year, the Black Eyed Peas.
Let's get it started indeed.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Well, Alex Schmidt, what a pleasure having you on the show as always.
Thank you so much. Always great. It's a treat.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I make a podcast called Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, and my co-host is the amazing Katie Golden, which is just awesome, from Creature Feature and more. But check it out. It's, if you search Secretly in your app, it's the red logo. And I'm making TikToks most days now. So find me on TikTok. It's fun.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to follow you on TikTok.
Yeah,
the Alex Schmidt. The second I start using TikTok. What are some subjects that you recently discovered were secretly incredibly fascinating?
We had a listener request for ska music, so we did a whole thing about that, which was extremely fun, it turned out, because I kind of missed ska music as a kid. I learned a lot. And then we did Canada Geese recently, which I think is a really excellent winter holiday vibe, if you want to do that one too. And of course, Katie brings something extra, anything animals. She's great on everything, but we really nailed that one, I think.
Yeah. Canadian geese, the popularity of eating goose we were talking about on an upcoming episode. We will be talking about it in an upcoming episode, but like the fact that like Christmas used to be goose season where we ate geese, did that go out of fashion because geese taste bad or because people just like see too many of them in their day-to-day lives? Was that something that you guys covered?
Yeah, there's a lot of like species of geese we farm and then we don't farm Canada geese. And apparently Canada geese taste amazing. And there's huge hunts to control the population now. And so there's places all over the U.S. and other parts of North America where people eat Canada geese often. And it's for population control.
Oh, shoot.
Hunting Canada geese seems like the most unsporting thing that you could possibly hunt. Like they just like you, you have to like run away from them. They're just like coming up to you being like, ah. like you really don't need like a duck blind in that case. Those things just walk slowly towards you, in my experience. Anyways, amazing.
I guess don't hunt them in the like town or park where that happens. The people will be not excited about your big gun. But
that's right. Yeah. I just use one of those ones that the end looks like a horn. And it just blasts a big blast of smoke, you know? And the only thing it does to the Canadian geese is it spins their beak around to the back of their head.
Thank you.
And they have to spin back around.
I think about Daffy Duck all the time. Thank you. Anyway, go on.
Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
So, and this is the thing on TikTok. There was an old like Canadian children's show called Nan Alan, and it has become several different memes. And then my favorite one on TikTok is puppets on Nan Alan where one sings about who's this wonderful girl and she's like descending stairs and people are using it for very good memes on TikTok. It's great.
Amazing. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
At Miles of Gray, all over the place, pretty much. Find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties. And you could also find me on the 420 Day Fiancé show with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk about my favorite show, 90 Day Fiancé. Tweet I like from Katie Delaney, at Katie Delaney, tweeted, "Bro, are you seriously strumming my pain with your fingers right now?" Oh, the goat. When it just comes to just being like, are you this song lyric? Oh, man. But are you? What the fuck? What's that even mean?
Nothing good is what I'm thinking. That's just the first thought.
I mean, yeah, like the way I think the Robbie's version is like they're watching someone perform and like the everything they're performing is speaking directly to them, that the guitar, oh my God, you're strumming my pain with your fingers.
Like somebody stopping like a musician in the middle and be like, bro, are you serious right now with the strumming of my pain?
Are you
with your fingers, no less?
Yo, this motherfucker is singing my life with his words. So, no.
I do not appreciate that.
Nuh-uh. Not like this.
Uh-uh.
It does sound like a Yelp review of a concert, doesn't it? Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Tweet I've been enjoying. Trash Jones tweeted, I love the moon because we both look bad in photos.
But Jack, you'll take a killer moon photo, man.
I will take a... I was looking back through, and I got some moon photos, and they stink. My moon photos are bad.
Oh, no. You suck.
Like, I was like, oh... Wait, you know, to my son, my five-year-old, I was like, man, the moon is amazing. It's like so huge. Go stand like over there. I'm going to get you with the moon. And it just the shittiest picture I've ever taken of someone.
Figures out it's an optical illusion.
Yeah. Turns out.
It's moon, not that big in the camera, though.
Very small.
The fuck?
Yeah. Just big in our hearts. Like me, you know, bad in pictures, big in your heart.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
This is an interesting... Okay, so I always find tracks that are seeming like they kind of straddle many genres. This is from an artist from Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, named Creature Sonore, S-O-N-O-R-E. And the track is called Serenity's Illumination. And it's clear that there's like these like Afrobeat high life percussive elements, but also like there's like this sampling that's going on, which kind of makes it feel kind of like vapor wavy. It's just super interesting, and it's like has a lot of heart to it, and it just feels like one of these like really interestingly assembled songs. So check this out. It's Serenity's Illumination by Creature Sonore.
All right, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.